Walter Pavlo is a former finance manager at MCI, now starting a new life in New York City. He served over a year and a half in prison, half his sentence, for money laundering, mail fraud, and obstruction of justice. Words that seem to roll off the tongue these days. In fact, some people might prefer to say lying, cheating, and stealing. NPR special correspondent Susan Stamberg continues her series on ethics with the story of a man who went from MCI to prison.
When Walter Pavlo was in college, a professor of ethics gave the class this simple scenario.
You know, if there were a Wells Fargo truck parked outside and there were no guards around and there were several million dollars inside, you know, would you take it? Everybody says, no, you know, I wouldn't take it. Or some may laugh and say that they might. But there is that temptation that's out there.
And Walter Pavlo gave in to temptation. He went from college to business school and eventually MCI, the big telecom carrier. He was 29 when he started working there in 1992, says he had a flawless record and rose quickly to become a senior manager.
The greatest pressure that I felt was the ability to be accepted and to excel within the corporation. A yes man.
In the mid-90s, the telecom bubble began to burst. In the billing department, Walter Pavlo saw that various startup companies owed MCI millions of dollars, which would never be paid. But inside the halls of MCI, such bad news was not welcome.
They want you to be aggressive, they want you to be a problem solver, and they want you to be creative. And so in the short term, we would mask this financial failing with some accounting tricks, if you will. I mean, it seemed like it was just a temporary fix. There was nothing malicious. There was nothing, no criminal intent. Then another month went by, and we did it again. And another month went by, and we did it again.
And again. And then, Walter Pavlo says, he got greedy. He realized he could make big bucks for himself from the bad debts MCI had accrued. He and an accomplice set up a scheme that made companies think they were paying off their debts. In fact, Pavlo put $6 million of their money into his own pocket and continued cooking MCI's books. Eventually, he got caught. Out of jail now, convicted felon Walter Pavlo speaks at business schools and to FBI agents and federal prosecutors about his experience and why he did what he did.
I knew that it was wrong, but I saw so many people, both customers of MCI and MCI themselves, enriching themselves through the manipulation of records. And whereas I didn't look at exactly at what they were doing as being so wrong, I did justify it for my own actions when I began to embark on what I did.
Mm-hmm. But do you in some way blame the corporate climate, the corporate culture there for sort of leading you down this path?
I don't. The decision was definitely my own. The influences of the environment were most certainly there. But there were other people in similar positions within the company, and they didn't embark on something like that.
You were young. Where were the old guys? Where were the ones who'd said, just a minute, we're setting a code here, we're setting a standard?
They were just, in some ways, on the sidelines on this. I mean, their oversight was limited to somewhat of a menial management position to just assure results happen. When I came back with good results that were fraudulent, they were just taken as the truth. No one pursued the good news. If it was good news, it was just taken as that. And you just started telling them more and more of what they want to hear. And I can also tell you that within MCI, just like many telecommunications companies, many executives were young. There were very few older, seasoned people in there. This is a brand new industry. They trust these young guys. They let them run. And it came back in this instance to burn them.
You told Forbes magazine that for a certain period of time, you felt you were bulletproof. Is that really possible, Mr. Pavlo?
I think many people within our organization felt bulletproof, that they were, I'll say that we felt that we were somehow not above the law, but making the law, making up the rules as we went along. In that way, there's very few people that question you, be they accounting people or audit people or even authorities from outside. There was a feeling, certainly within MCI, that we could control our own financial destiny, whether or not the true results would ever be revealed.
Must have come as quite a surprise to you then once you started feeling the bullets.
Oh, a shock. And that was the true downfall of the telecommunications industry was during that period. If you look at what's going on with the WorldCom and the Global Crossings and Adelphia, these problems that are just coming to surface today had their roots back in the mid-90s when everyone had a perception that indeed these companies were all bulletproof and the people that ran them.
There's a story about time that you spent with your father before you went to spend time, before you went to prison.
Right.
And he looked at you and he said, "What were you thinking?"
And I can tell you, Susan, that has a lot to do with why I speak today, because I didn't have an answer. And, you know, what were you thinking? What motivated you to do this? You had so much going for you. At the time, I told him that I didn't know. I said, "Dad, I really don't know what I was thinking."
Wasn't it simply pure greed, or was it the rush, maybe, of seeing if you could get away with it?
I can tell you there was a little bit of both. There certainly is a rush from the amounts of money that we were talking about. The power that you perceive that you have in showing a financial result that is indeed going to make a difference in the stock price is intoxicating. And greed, probably more after the fact, you know, because once you get the taste of it, you're certainly going to want more.
Hmm. Do you have children, Mr. Pavlo?
Yes, I do. I have two boys, 11 and 13.
And what do you tell them about what you did?
I tell them that I'm not bulletproof as a dad. And the best example that I can show to them now is to openly speak about it, to let others learn from it, and for them, more importantly, to learn from it.
What are you doing these days? How do you earn a living?
Well, right now I do give speeches. I provide some consulting services for some small companies and things. But eventually I would like to just blend back in into to some job in a finance organization somehow. But for a period of time, I've got to prove myself.
I bet that's real rough for you, though, because any prospective employer would have to ask him or herself, am I going to hire this guy with a history like that?
Right. The fact is that I can't hide it. Whether or not that they would 100% trust me, I can't answer that. Only they could. You know, if they can view this as a lapse of judgment or somehow understand a little bit of my situation, then perhaps I can earn their trust one day. But I certainly don't expect it tomorrow.
Walter Pavlo got out of prison in March. He's almost 41, divorced. His wife has custody of the two boys. The consulting work he does is mostly for old friends. I'm Susan Stamberg, NPR News, Washington.
Next Tuesday, Susan talks with a couple in Virginia. They've tried to pass their ethical values on to a total of 16 children. Details on the making of the Ethics series are at npr.org.